You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey there, Duke fans. Welcome to episode 616 of the DBR podcast, the Duke Basketball Roundup. I'm Jason Evans. You know, Donald was actually with me a couple seconds ago, but he's having computer problems. And we have a special guest. So I didn't want to delay things any further. We are about to bring you part one of our very extensive preview of the Houston Cougars, the team that Duke will be facing on Friday in the NCAA Sweet 16, an outstanding club. And the best way to bring you a preview of this team is to go to an absolute expert on them. I am joined now live by Jeremy Branham of Houston Basketball Radio. Jeremy is the voice of the Cougars. Jeremy, I think you said, what, like 7 years or so you've been doing this? You've been calling the play-by-play?
Yeah. Year seven to do men's basketball. I did 10 years of women's basketball prior to that. Actually been into Cameron Indoor twice. Once
really?
Was for a women's game. I think we got beat by 40. you guys had a point guard, I think from Cy Fair. In Houston. Can't remember the name though. And then we practiced baseball there, I think ahead of a trip against East Carolina. I don't know why we practiced there, but we practiced there and then we just walked through Cameron Indoor. So I've been there twice. Really cool place.
It is a fun place to see a basketball game. There's no question about that. All right, let's get to the reason we have you on, which is to tell us a bit about your team, the Houston Cougars. Look, big year for you guys. First year in the Big 12, and you win the conference regular season, you get a number one seed in the NCAA tournament. Any transition, anything different about this year's Houston club versus the past few years when you were not in a power conference?
No, it's the opposite, really. And I think that the program takes pride in that it's the opposite. Kelvin Sampson's asked about that all the time, and I think he gets a little annoyed whenever he's asked. No, we don't do anything different. Like, we've been this quality of a program for quite some time now. We've been this good for a while now. Just because we were in the American last year and the Big 12 this year didn't change who we were. It might have changed your opinion of who we are, but it didn't change who we were. They have their pillars, their things that they, you know, that are important to them. They call it a Holy Trinity. Offensive, they are just rebounding in general, defense, taking care of the basketball. That's the Holy Trinity of that program. And they work on that every day. If you're not going to buy into that, you're not going to play in this program. So it's something that you get conditioned to do. It's something that the players develop. And, you know, you work on getting better each and every day of practice. You play a game, what worked, what didn't work, what areas do we need to correct? And you work on that throughout the entire season. And Houston's been good for a long time. they haven't changed a single thing that they've done once they, you know, moved to the Big 12. The only difference is the schedule. And, you know, Houston was lucky enough to have a good season, win a bunch of basketball games, and be in the position that they're in right now.
So you'd say that holy trinity, the defense, protecting the ball on offense, and rebounding hard. We're big on headlines on this show. We ask our listeners to give us headlines after every single game. If you had a headline to describe Houston this year, what would it be?
I would probably go with tough. You look at this program and you look at a couple of the key words that really describe it, you know, physical, hard-nosed, smart, don't beat themselves. And I think that you can kind of summarize that all with tough. You know, you're going to, when you play Houston, you're going to get a tough game. When you get Houston on the defensive side of the ball, they're going to be tough. Offensively, you know, they're going to get a shot. They're going to go try to rebound the missed shot. They're going to be tough. They're a tough out. And I think that it's been like that for quite a while under Kelvin Sampson, this is the program that he wants. This is the program that he demands. He recruits to the program, and the recruit brings in players that are going to, you know, play that kind of style. So I would say tough. If I could headline the season, I would say tough.
So there's a weird thing about Houston compared to most other teams in that their two best players are small guards. LJ Cryer and Jamal Shedd are both like 6'1", maybe 200 pounds. Mm-hmm. But they've been, I mean, incredible this season. Talk to me a little bit about what's their secret sauce? How are they getting this done?
Yeah, on the defensive end, they're just both really good on-ball defenders. Shedd has had a reputation for being a really good on-ball defender for a while. He was the defensive player of the year, the American last year. So he's had that reputation, and then followed that up with the Big 12 defensive player of the year. You know, people call him one of the best defensive point guards in the country. He's strong. You know, he might not be the tallest, you're right. But he's strong. He's wide, he's thick. So it's hard to, you know, it's hard to get around him with his speed, his quickness. And then he has the physicality and the size to kind of try to cope with some taller guards. And then LJ Cryer actually came in with a reputation for a guy who wasn't good defensively. And I think that bothered LJ. LJ believes that he is a good defender. And I think that he's had that belief for quite some time. And when he was getting that label, I don't think he appreciated that. And I think it's part of why he came to Houston, quite frankly. I haven't heard him say that, but you know what you're getting whenever you come to Houston. So he's never shied away from that. He's embraced that. He has seen that, you know, face on, and he's been really good in that as well. He's quick. He's thick too. He's pretty strong. And then on the offensive side, Shedd's quickness, probably about game four, game five of the Big 12 season, that he was asked to be a little bit more of a scorer. So he's been getting to the rim much more, finishing at the rim, good leaping ability. His shot's gotten much better over the years, you know, never a volume 3-point shooter. It's always been, can he knock it down? And this year he's been able to knock it down. So his speed, his quickness, his ability to finish at the rim, get other guys involved. And then LJ's strengths offensively is that he's really quick. He's good off the ball. He's good coming off of screens. And then he's just a really good shooter. That would be his biggest strength, is that he can shoot the rock.
So Donald has actually fixed his computer problems and he has now joined us. I know he wants to ask you about the big man. Go ahead, Donald.
Yeah, sorry about that, ladies and gentlemen. Technology sometimes gets the best of us, but Jeremy, great to have you on. You talked about the big men, or I'm sorry, you talked about the little guys. Let's talk about the big men, and I know some guys have been hurt recently or fighting through some injuries. I think the thing about, you mentioned the toughness and the strength that this team possesses. I think it's present more in the big men in some ways because they're not that tall. And in some of these games, we've seen that being tall is somewhat required to be a big man. So how does Houston get around that? How do they make up for their lack of height with their strength and be able to fight off some, especially in the Big 12, where you have a lot of teams that have 7'7", 7'2" guys that are banging in the post every night?
Yeah, Sampson doesn't really value height as much as he values other things. He's a big wingspan guy. He's a big leaping ability guy. and he is a big quickness guy. He wants his bigs to be quick. And what they do defensively, they need to be quick. So he'll trade off a little bit of height at times for the other things that he values more. Not to say that he completely devalues size. It's that the other things matter more in what he wants to do defensively. So that's what they counter it with. They counter it with their lengths. It might not be 7-footers, but, 6'8", 6'9". They have really long wingspan, especially Javier Francis. Javier Francis, it's ridiculous how long his arms are. JoJo Tugler, even longer. I think he's had like a 7'6" wingspan, which is crazy. He won't play, obviously, because he's out for the year. But then also their leaping ability. Javier Francis can jump through the roof. So, if you have a guy who's 6'8", guarding a guy who's 7 foot, but you have a 4-inch longer wingspan, and then your vertical is 4 inches better than the other guy, what are you losing? So, I don't know the math on that. I'm not smart enough to figure it out. But that's what they value. They value quickness from their big guys. They want wingspan. They want leaping ability a little bit more than they want height from their 4 and their 5 spots.
So it's more like athleticism. Sounds like that they are.
Sure. Absolutely.
Yeah. And that's been the key.
They'll take athletes over girth.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. But, they want to have an athletic team on the floor. You'll see it too. Depending what Duke does offensively, but you'll see their bigs. If you do some high pick and rolls and things like that, where they'll do a hard hedge and get to their line of scrimmage, and they have to have a big that can get back. They have to have a big that can pressure the ball. And if you have a 7-footer who's slow, he's not capable of doing that. And if you're not capable of doing that, you're not playing on this team. So it's not that, he's anti-7-footer. He's just pro, give me an athlete at that position who's long, fast, can jump high.
Let's take a step back and take a look at the defense in general, because the defense this year has been incredible. I know they're one of the top rated teams in the country on defense, and they've been incredible at taking the ball away. And for those who haven't seen Houston play, can you describe their philosophy on defense and how they keep teams off the scoreboard? Because it seems like in a lot of these games, they emphasize taking the ball away and going the other way, but it's not all that they do on defense. They're just very strong. I know the word strong has been present here, but describe their philosophy on defense.
Yeah, that's never really been one of the key principles either, is turning teams over. This year's team is pretty unique in that. It's not to say that all of Samson's teams in Houston haven't, been good at that, but it's usually not the priority. This team is a little different at the ability to play the passing lanes. And then you have some quick guards who can get their hand on the ball, knock it free, things like that. But getting turnovers and steals really isn't like principle, one or two when it comes to this defense. This defense is more about making the offense's life hard, making him work for every shot, making it very difficult to get good looks, taking out the other team's best player. If you feed the post, do you pressure the post? So they have their system. They have their philosophy of how they're going to do things. Depending on personnel, and they'll switch some stuff up too. BYU is a really unique opponent in the Big 12. They have 5 good 3-point shooters on the floor a lot of the times. And they were having some good success against Houston in the first half. Make an adjustment in the locker room, switch up what you're doing a little bit from a schematic point of view in a much different second half. So they have a belief in what they do with their system. But they're also willing to make quick adjustments if need be, if they feel like their system's not really working that day or it doesn't have a great look against a very specific personnel. But their core idea is let's make it very difficult for the offense to A, get good looks, and then B, whenever they don't get good looks, try to rebound the shots that they miss.
It certainly has worked out for them on defense. They've been incredible, as I mentioned, all year. And even on offense, if we switch to the offense for just a second, they've been very good on offense. I think the defense has probably outpaced their offense, but not by much. They've been very good on both sides of the basketball. I think on offense, it feels like they have done it despite the fact that they are not as efficient in several categories. So talk about the offense and how they've developed such a great offense and scoring a lot of points while not necessarily always being the most efficient team on the floor.
Yeah, they get when Houston gets criticized, it's about the offensive side of the ball. And, I do Houston radio, so I'm a bit of a homer. I'm also a believer in the KenPom, and they've been top 15 in offensive efficiency all year. And, you know, they don't hand those spots out. You got to be pretty good to be a top 15 offensive efficiency team in college basketball. I think sometimes when you look at, you know, our games, they can be a little bit choppy because, you know, we don't give up many shots early in the shot clock. They're usually slower paced games. It usually doesn't equate to a high scoring game. Not to say that Houston hasn't been in a couple of those and won a couple of those, but it's usually not this up and down freestyle NBA type of game. It's a little bit more, okay, we're going to play half court basketball. You're not going to really see a shot in the first 15, sometimes 20 seconds of the shot clock. Houston turns teams over all the time with shot clock violations. But on the offensive end, I think it's you have good offensive players. I think it starts there. Jamal Shedd's been asked to do more offensively. He can get you 20 on any given night. LJ Cryer, when his shot's falling, he can give you 20 any single night. Same thing with Emmanuel Sharpe. Emmanuel Sharpe had 30 points against Texas A&M. He's a good offensive player. And then Juwan Roberts, his stats are a little bit misleading. He's, you know, a veteran. He's been taken out of some games. He's been injured in some games. But he's a guy that Houston's very comfortable with some specific matchups of going to the post. Okay, let's feed Jaywan. We feel that if you're going to guard Jaywan one-on-one, there's nights where he can have a big offensive night. If you send a second man, they like his ability to pass the basketball from the post, which leads to some open shots. So they have some high-quality offensive players. You know, Francis isn't like somebody you're giving the basketball to that's going to be putbacks and jump spots, things like that, but he's good at that. You know, he's good at offensive rebounding. He's good at getting to the dunk spot and catching a lob or getting an offensive rebound putback. So roles, good individual talent. They're a team that moves the ball. They're a team that offensive rebounds at a pretty high level. And then they take care of the ball. You know, they're not wasting possessions. And if you're not wasting possessions and then you're getting extra possessions with the offensive rebounding and you throw in some pretty good offensive players, I think it can lead to a team that can score the ball pretty well.
All right, we're going to take a quick commercial break, Jeremy. Stick around, because after the break, I want to find out from you what scares you about the Duke Blue Devils. What keeps you up at night when you look at Duke? That question, that answer, I should say, on the other side. Stay with us.
This episode of the Duke Basketball Roundup is brought to you by BetterHelp. Hey, this is Donald Wine of the Duke Basketball Roundup, and Jason, springtime is a season that's supposed to feel like a new beginning. We have better weather, and it feels like everyone's got an extra bounce in their step as we leave winter in rearview. However, for many, the changing of seasons doesn't always mean that their mood lightens up with the extra sunlight. It can be easy to ignore our social battery being on E and spread ourselves thin without the opportunity to recharge.
Boy, you know it, Donald. You're right. With the amount of social gatherings picking up, with the improving weather and more daylight, there's more pressure to be on when you're interacting with family, friends, coworkers, heck, even strangers. And let's be honest, it can take a lot out of you. And before you know it, you don't have enough energy for the important things and people in your life. And for some, getting advice from a therapist can help you rebuild your social life without completely draining your social battery. That is what BetterHelp is all about. It is entirely online, and it's designed to be therapy that's convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. You just fill out a brief questionnaire and get matched up to a professional licensed therapist. And you can switch therapists anytime you want.
So if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try and find your social sweet spot. Visit BetterHelp.com/DukeRoundup today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/DukeRoundup. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
All right, we're back from the break. We are still with Jeremy Branham, the voice of the Houston Cougars basketball team. Jeremy, I want to start with this. Houston's, you know, got an incredible record this season, but they've had some slip-ups, especially lately. What goes wrong when Houston has a game, even if they win the game, where it's, you know, not the result that was expected? What is it? What are the things that have gone wrong for them that leads to that? Is there any pattern? Because, like, as Duke fans, when Duke loses, we're almost always talking about didn't get the 50-50 balls, didn't have the right effort. Yeah. You know, is there like an underlying thing that happens to Houston when things go south?
You know, the Iowa State game was such an anomaly in the Big 12 tournament. Like, it was a combination of you have a very short roster, you very short bench, lots of injuries. You're playing the third game in 3 days. You had one of your starting players, and Juwan Roberts, got hurt in the semifinals. You had Iowa State that played really well. They fill out T-Mobile Center in Kansas City, so their crowd lifts them a little bit. That game was a bit of an anomaly. That was a weird game. So you have to go back prior to early in conference play, back-to-back road games, game two, game three of the conference slate, lost at Iowa State, lost to TCU, and then you lost a game a couple weeks later at Kansas. Kansas was phenomenal the night that they played. The Kansas starting five when they played, and they were healthy at the time. They had McCullough. I thought that was a team that could win a national title. Now they're playing at home, so the home crowd can lift you at times, but that starting five on that night might have been the best team I've seen all year. They were phenomenal. Houston fought, though. You know, they had a chance. I think they cut it down to single digits with like 6 or 7 minutes to play, and their backup center hit a three from straight on, and then it was really all over from there. Iowa State, they got off to a slow start. I think it was a 14-0 start. That was second game of the year, so memory kind of slips on that a little bit. And the TCU game, they just really had trouble getting it going offensively. I would say I don't know if there's any one thing between those four that have correlation with the other. I think if you look at the A&M game, foul trouble certainly was something that made that game dicey. 45 free throws, four starters fouled out. A&M's pretty unique with how they handle their offense. So, you know, you give them a lot of credit for that as well. I don't know if there's one thing that's a correlation. I think if you look at Houston now, you would love to get them in foul trouble. You would love to get to the free throw line. And because their bench just isn't all that deep, if you can get to their, you know, you get early foul trouble on Francis and Roberts, and now you're playing a couple of guys that don't play a whole lot or not as good for an extended period of time, 7-8 minutes, that could certainly change a game.
Hey, Jeremy, I wanted to go back to this because I know the last couple of games that you had against, or at least two of the games this year against Iowa State, you had Houston had the lowest scores or lowest outputs of points in those two games. You mentioned the 41 points in the Big 12 championship, but also during the regular season, Iowa State beat Houston and they gave 53 points in that. So is a simple fact of does Duke needs to pop in the tape of Houston versus Iowa State to see what Iowa State did well in those situations? Or is it a situation of those games are just such anomalies in the shooting department that you've kind of want to toss that film out?
No, I mean, I think if you look at those two teams, though, those are the two best defensive teams in the country, and both of them play an amazing tempo. I know Houston's tempo is like in the 300s, and Iowa State's tempo is like in the 200s. So naturally, you put two teams that have below 200 tempos, and you have the top two teams in the country defensively, you're not going to get many points. Like, it's going to be one of those nights where teams are shooting with single digits left on the shot clock every trip up the floor. And then both teams are going to make your life miserable getting any sort of offensive look. So, yeah, I mean, if I were scouting the Cougars today and I was playing them in the NCAA tournament, I certainly would turn that game on and see what Iowa State's doing that slowed down Houston. Now, you know, what is Iowa State's philosophy? I know they play a no-middle defense. Is that something that we do? Are we capable of doing that? Do we have the personnel? I think you guys do. So there's a lot of things that go into that. I don't think that every team in the country is Iowa State. I'm not saying that Iowa State's the best team in the country. I'm just saying that when you get Houston and Iowa State together that are both very good defensively, the best two according to some metrics, they don't play at a very high tempo. That's just naturally going to be a low-scoring game.
Hey, Jeremy, I want to talk to you a little bit about Duke. What's the sense from, you know, from the team, from fans, from folks you talk to about playing the Blue Devils? I mean, look, we know we're the big bad guys of the college basketball world. you know, we get huge ratings because everyone likes to see us lose. You think are Houston fans excited, apprehensive? How would you describe things?
Yeah, I think there's two perspectives to look at it from. The fan perspective, yeah, you're playing a name brand school. That's really fun, right? I mean, I think that we watch sports to be entertained and to you know, be excited about it. So whenever you play Duke versus non-name brand school 101, yeah, you're going to have a lot more interest in that from a fan's perspective. Now, from a team perspective, they couldn't care less what the name of the university is. They're all their attention is going to be on the personnel. Samson tells a story from years ago when they played Kentucky in the Sweet 16, 4 or 5 years ago, maybe they had Tyler Hero. I think it was Washington with them back then as well. A really good team, but you're not playing Kentucky. You're playing the guy, you're playing the personnel, you're playing the roster. So when, you know, Houston's getting ready for this game coming up on Friday, and they've been getting ready for it all week, and you know, they'll have practice tomorrow, and then they'll have shoot around Friday. It's not Duke. It's okay. You're guarding Roach, or how do we defend McCain? What's the game plan against Filipowski? And that's what you do every game. Like when you're playing Iowa State, it's not we're playing the Cyclones tonight. It's you're gonna have to guard. You know, you're gonna have to guard their point guard. You're gonna have to get out here on Momchilovich. This is how we're gonna box out Jones. So it's just staying that course, staying that process. But from a fan's point of view, yeah, I mean, it's a sexy matchup. You get Duke, Houston, first time in program history. The fans love that, and they should because it's fun. It's exciting. It's a Sweet 16 game, Houston-Duke. That's great. But from a player point of view, coach point of view, they're more worried about the personnel.
All right, well, you led me perfectly into my next question, which is who is the player that's keeping Kelvin Sampson up at night? Who's the guy that – you know, if you had to look at someone and go, "This, if Duke wins, this is the guy who gave us a problem."
I think you could say all of them, right?
I'll take
McCain
that.
Being so hot, I think with McCain being so hot in the last game, that's somebody that you're certainly going to grab your attention. What was it? He broke the record for the most 3-pointers in a game ever at Duke, or was that a freshman record? I have it in my
fresh,
notes.
It was a freshman
it was,
record.
It was all no, it was all time. It was
all
8.
Time.
Yep. Beat Quinn Cook.
Yeah, eight. So I do remember that one correctly. He also was joking with Shire about breaking some other record, but I couldn't quite put two and two together to understand what record that was. Do you guys know? Is it all-time points record, all-time freshman points record?
No, I the other thing that they talked about a bit, was he was, I want to say, was it the first freshman in Duke history to have 30 points? No turnovers or something like that.
He was the first freshman since the NCAA tournament expanded to have 30 points with zero turnovers.
That was it. Yeah.
Okay. I know he and Shire were joking something at the press conference where Shire took him out early because it was a blowout game. He's like, "Hey, you should have left me in. I would have got your record," or something like that. But I couldn't put two and two together to understand which record it was. But I mean, tremendous game. So you get a shooter like that, he's going to have your attention. I know that Houston, you know, they brought him a McCain on an official visit too. So, you know, they know him pretty well. They certainly respect him. Kelvin Sampson, I was watching his press conference earlier this week, and he had nothing but positive things to say about Jared McCain, said he thinks he's going to be a great pro, really likes him. But then you have Filipowski, too, who's a really good offensive player, a really good player. You go back to the Kansas game and some things that Dickinson did really hurt Houston. You know, I think Filipowski's capable of doing some of those things as well. So I think it starts there, but you certainly have to respect everybody else. Proctor can beat you. Roach can beat you. Mitchell is a very athletic four. I was watching some of the NC State game last night, actually, and that guy he looks the part. He's fast. He's big. He's athletic. So yeah,
we call Mark Mitchell bad intentions.
Yeah, I want to look like that. You know, in fact, whenever I look in the mirror, I like to think I look like that.
Hey, Jeremy,
bad
real quick.
Is a good nickname.
Yeah, we love it. We love it when he has bad intentions. Hey, you know, real quick, I know we're running out of time, but Houston a few days ago gave a custom jersey to none other than Drake. And I know everyone knows about the Drake curse. And everyone's afraid of the Drake curse.
Yeah.
Are fans worried about the Drake curse coming to Houston by you guys giving him that jersey?
I don't know if our biggest fans know about the Drake curse, quite frankly. I did hear some, you know, Houston sports fans in the city talking about that. Now, he was a big Raptors fan, right? Didn't they win a title? Didn't they win a title with Drake sitting courtside?
Yep.
Yeah,
yep.
So, I mean, how cursey is this curse exactly? Like, if you're winning a championship at some point, like, this isn't the curse of the Bambino. This isn't the Billy Goat. I think this is a very minor curse compared to all of the other great curses we've had in Houston sports history. I don't know where the Drake curse stacks up, but I don't know if it makes the top 10.
All right, Jeremy, we're going to wrap up with this, my friend, and I appreciate you giving us all this time this evening. I got to get a prediction from you, and I know you're a Houston homer. You got to be, but tell me how you think this game turns out.
Yeah, I don't do the predictions. Sorry to disappoint you guys. I predict it's going to be a really good game on Friday. I've poured a lot of time into Duke this week, and I love this Blue Devil team. I think it's really talented. I think it's really good. I really like Shire as a coach, too. Listening to his press conference, I've become a fan of it. I know who John Shire is. I know he took over for Coach K. I haven't listened to a single John Shire press conference prior to this week, and then I've listened to hours of John Shire this week and really impressed by him. So I'm a heavy respect for Duke just for the history, but I really like this year's roster. I think the world of Shire as a head coach, you know, so I think it's going to be a really good game. I think some of these matchups are really interesting too. Like, I'm very curious to see how Houston defends McCain, how they defend Filipowski. I want to see how Houston attacks Duke defensively. See if they attack Filipowski defensively. I don't know. So I'm excited for it. I can't wait. I think you have two really good teams. I think both of these teams are capable of winning Friday and winning more games in the NCAA tournament. So I'm chomping at the bit. I can't wait.
We are too, my friend. Jeremy Branham, Houston Basketball Radio, thank you so much. We appreciate all the insight you gave to us. I'd say good luck, man, but I just can't go there.
I understand. Thanks for having me on. I enjoyed the conversation.
Absolutely. Well, Donald, I think we are very, very lucky to have had a guest like that, someone who quite literally watches every single game because he's the guy telling the fans what's going on. I mean, that's
he's got the best seat in the house.
What's that?
He's got the best seat in the house. Like, it's a great perspective.
Amen. Exactly. Folks, if you think that was a good preview, wait until you hear what's coming next. We are Donald and I are going to do our deep dive into Houston. We'll have that for you tomorrow in your feed, or depending on when you listen to it, to this episode. Maybe it's today in your feed. I don't know. But that's coming up next as the DBR prepares for the Sweet 16 against the Houston Cougars. Again, our thanks to Jeremy Branham of Houston Basketball Radio. He's Donald Wine with the fixed computer. I'm Jason Evans. I've been here the whole time. This is the Duke Band. They've been in the background. They've been waiting, warming up. Here's the Duke Band. They're playing us out, taking us home.